Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to batten down the hatches and splice the main brace. It's the all-new Panic Room Radio Show blog.
I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show. Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do.
Saturday night and the moon is. What picture you see
when you're with your baby? Let's row in the balcony. Well, there's Technicolor and the CinemaScope, a cast out of Hollywood, and the popcorn from the candy stand makes it all seem quite as good. There's always lots of pretty girls with figures they don't find but they never can compare to the girl sitting by my side.
Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see?
When you're with your baby, let's row in the balcony.
Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, yeah, good evening, listener, and hopefully not confuse you too much because it's not Saturday night and we're not at the movies. But what a great song there from the Drifters. And you know, funny story, many years ago, until recently actually, I thought that song and Kissing in the Back Row of the movies on a Saturday night was the same song. And in my head, the two are sort of inexorably linked. So if ever I need to do that on karaoke, some just sort of mix the two, which would be kind of maybe rap over it a little bit as well. But no, I don't think I would do that because nobody's going to listen to that. Anywho, it is actually Thursday night. It's episode 34 of the new Panic Room. And I think we've got a show. I've no idea. I just turn up, to be honest with you. I mean, I do know someone who will actually know whether we've got a show or not. Hang on a minute.
Oh, no. Epstein has been at the wine again.
Epstein, how are you, my dear?
I'm great, but I had a little bit of a panic earlier because I could not get my wine bottle open, but I got it now. It's okay, and I've not consumed almost all of it. But there was a brief panic there when I couldn't get it opened.
I just got a mental image of you sort of gnawing the top of the bottle off of your teeth just to get to the... Well, but, you know, I mean, wine, it's made from grapes, and grapes are fruit, so it's pretty much health food, so, you know, it's exactly
how I see things.
It's health food. It's like chocolate. I mean, chocolate's rich in iron, so chocolate's good for you. That's how it works, to be honest. So, it's been a week, hasn't it?
It has. It seems to go by really
fast. It has literally, literally been a week.
Yeah, right. Earlier, I was in the kitchen, and I was like, oh, my gosh, is today Thursday? Or is it Wednesday? I was so confused for a few seconds. So I don't know, a day just totally got away from me there. But
even my little girl, I just tucked her in bed, and she said she feels like a Tuesday today. So the week has gone. She said, so the week has gone really fast. She said.
Yeah. I can't believe it's Friday tomorrow. So I got to put up with my kids all weekend.
It's funny because I do the grocery shopping on a Friday. I got a HEB, we didn't plug for HEB there. I don't know if you get HEB anywhere other than Texas. I don't think you do, but it's a great store. And I go every Friday evening. Me and my daughter, we go every Friday evening. And it's like, sure, we don't need me. I was only there a couple of days ago. And it's surprising. And certainly the children, it's surprising how much they play. It's like living in the plague of locusts, how much they eat. How much they get through in a week. You know, it's just, it goes from being, pantry fridges sort of full, you know, when we get back Friday night. And then come Friday morning, we're out of milk. Because again, the kids are at that age where they will finish a box of cereal, a box of anything, leave the box.
Yeah,
so I see
and
the box.
Then you go,
I think fancy some Frosted Flakes. And of course, it's an empty box and then there's no milk. So,
Have you tried this new crap they have now, Frosted Flakes with marshmallows? You know,
everything
in theory,
has marshmallows
it sounds
in it.
Decent.
Everything.
It sounds decent in theory, but it's not. It's not good at all.
They have Cap'n Crunch with marshmallows. They have Lucky Charms with marshmallows, obviously. There's a whole raft of things. They're just chucking marshmallows into everything.
Well, they made a mistake with putting them in Frosted Flakes. They need to take that out.
Oh, Frosted Flakes, they're too sweet anyway. I mean, I always have to go clean my teeth. I go brush my teeth when I've had those, because otherwise it sits on your teeth and then your teeth start hurting. I guess that's just me. I don't know. But, so what have you... enough about me. For a change. Let's talk about me, to be honest. What have you been up to this past week, Xtina, dare I ask?
Yeah, I don't know if you dare ask. I don't know. I'm going to have to start thinking about this question earlier in the day and coming up with something really, really good for you, because not a whole lot. I am editing an anthology right now, which is really exciting for Hellbound Books. And I will say that if you spend all day reading and editing stories of, really depraved and sick and twisted, sex stories, you'll come away feeling just a little bit dirty and not in a good way. But I did learn.
I'm going to look forward to reading it then. If you come away dirty, I like that.
I will say that I kind of think that knife play is just a little bit sexy now. So I know you should read that story. It's really good.
I'm looking forward to reading all of them, to be honest with you. But funny enough, I just finishing up my my erotic romance horror werewolf novel. I can't wait to read that one. Started life as a short, and I thought, I can make a novel out of this, and it's. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm sick to death of writing sex, because I've also, parallel to the editing this, I've started writing 20,000 words into my latest novel, which is it's not got werewolves in it or romance erotic. And I'm tired of writing, so I'm thinking that I don't really need any sex in this book at all. I'm just going to dodge it. And funnily enough, I've got it just sort of happened that I needed to work something into the plot, and I've got this young couple at it up against a tree in the forest. And for goodness sake, Jim, what is going on in your suite? I mean, but it's essential to the plot. It does work, actually.
A nice
evening at the theatre or something. You know, now they're going to be doing it up against a tree. But I think we've all been there, he said. Moving on.
So
do we or do we not have a show for our listener this evening, Xtina?
We haven't.
And if so, what is going on?
Yeah, we have it.
We've got Keelan Patrick Burke, I'm told. Deborah Anastasi, who is becoming a bit of a stalker. She's always on. Always on. Can't get rid of her.
I love her.
And we have Becky Naran is returning to review something that's not one of my books. So, okay. So I think hopefully we have Keelan Patrick Burke on the line, AT&T willing. Fingers crossed. Keelan, are you there, sir?
No, I'm not.
Oh, Gina. Okay, well, let's move on to our next guest then.
No.
Oh, he got me good.
Interrupted me. Yeah, you're interrupting me because I'm currently working on my erotic werewolf novel about a werewolf who ends up having sex with a box of Frosted Flakes and marshmallows. So.
With extra marshmallows.
I would buy and read that. Seriously, that sounds awesome.
I would too. I don't know what that says about the kind of people we are, but I would as well. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, could you dedicate it to me, please? That would be awesome.
It'd be kind of you would really have to brush your teeth after you've read it. You know?
I brush my teeth after I eat anything.
I'm thinking of having the publisher just put the bristles of a toothbrush right down the spine of the book. So you can do
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, as a marketing ploy, you could actually give away a free toothbrush with every volume.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. And just have on the front of the book, you're going to need this.
Or just if you want to go the other way, what you could do is get lots of marshmallows and sort of press them between the jacket and the covers.
Oh my God!
Lots of little marshmallows.
You could use it to glue the binding. Yeah.
There you go. Those little tiny marshmallows are just awesome. They're awesome.
Oh gosh! I need another drink now.
You always need another drink, actually. Always, and there's a fine line with Xtina. Keelan, between need and want. I'll tell you that now.
I remember the first time you told me to slow down, James. That was pretty funny. I was like, what? What is wrong? And I was a little warm, but now I think I'm better now. So
you're glowing. Mm. But yeah. you've got better at drinking. Well, I'm not sure if that's a well done or not, to be honest with you, but
does that ever actually work when you tell somebody to slow down? I mean, it's just, I know if somebody says it to me, I'm like, have another one.
No,
okay.
No, actually it did, because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to make a fool of myself. So I did slow down.
It's like telling a 6-year-old they can't do something. You know, like, you know, don't stick your fingers in that socket. You know, damn well.
What are you trying to say?
When it comes to drinking, you have all the self-control of a 6-year-old. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. See, I've been told that about other things aside from drinking as well. So I think it's just a character flaw. And you know, I'm good with that.
Oh,
I am. I'm good with that. So
well,
I'm pleased to hear that.
I wouldn't be me without my wine.
Mm.
She said as she took a drink.
She says, I love you. Make sure you're listening for the second half, Keith. She gets more and more amusing. And I use the word amusing advisedly. To be fair, we took a gamble extending the show to an hour and a half, because it's an extra hour and a half for Xine to stay A, sober, and B, conscious. But, you know, she manages most weeks, I have to say. She's done very well.
Oh, my God. I manage every week, but, you know, I really, after the show, though, I'm, like, dead. I really am. I'm like, that's it. I don't have anything else in me. But it's a nice feeling, so I'm good with it.
Yeah, it's funny for me. I mean, I'm always buzzing. I really need to crawl in. I need to sleep, you know, and I can't. I have to sit and watch a bit of TV to sort of wind down for half an hour before I can sleep. But it's so exciting.
Yeah, but that's
so
you know, you spend an hour and a half being on. You have to work on the being off afterwards, you know.
It just doesn't, like I said, I just can't just switch it. I just got to be, you know. But whatever happens, I've got to be wide awake at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, otherwise the kids don't go to school. So,
yeah, I have
there
to be wide
no
awake
right.
at like noon.
Yeah, but again, that's noon is flexible for you, isn't it? Yeah.
It is noon-ish. Okay,
noon-ish. Is that Central Time, Eastern Time? Well, I mean, it's flexible, isn't it? Really? Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, I'll just pick one.
It's noon
yeah,
somewhere.
When I wake up, I'll decide.
it's still noon in California. Things are good.
Exactly.
So, Keelan, thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's an absolute delight. Here to talk about sour candy, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm glad you said that. I love the tagline.
Yeah,
I mean, you got me at the tagline. I love Crafty and Tale about the hostile takeover between a strange boy and the man who tries to help him. Anything Lovecrafty and hooks me straight away. I just love the...
Yeah.
I love the way that he sort of wove the whole concept, and to be fair, I'll admit I'd use it in some of my work, of that sort of the sinister netherworld that's just bubbling behind the surface, just under the surface of normal, what we call normality, I guess. And so you hooked me. You've got me. So, hey,
well,
the floor's yours. Tell us all about it.
Well, it's actually funny. You know, the thing about Lovecraftian stories is that obviously, you know, in my formative years, I read a lot of Lovecraft and Poe and everything else. But it's only, it's usually only in reviews later or somebody else's description of what I write that I realize that it is a Lovecraftian story. It's the second one that's happened to me now where I just wrote it, it was published, came out, people read it, and then somebody said, oh, I love these kinds of Lovecraftian stories. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, well, I guess when you look at it that way, it is a Lovecraftian story without him being, you know, any of his kind of trademark influences being specifically brought into play. But yeah, there was another one where a friend of mine wrote to me and says, this is the best Lovecraftian story you've written to date. And I thought, shit, it is, isn't it? I mean, it's a Lovecraftian story. I didn't look at it that way at all, but
awesome.
Because I don't ever set out to write that way. You know, I don't sit down and say, oh, I'm going to write a Lovecraft story. No more than I sit down and say, I'm going to write a King story or a Peter Straub story. I just write.
Right.
We all do. But yeah, this was an interesting one for me because it has gestated a long time before I got around to sitting down and writing it. But it's basically the short version of it is I went into a Walmart one Saturday morning and saw a kid screaming at the top of his lungs, and his mom looked just like she completely checked out, that she was done, she couldn't handle it and wasn't going to. And I'm sure everybody has had a similar encounter where, you know, everybody else is looking at the kid and going, oh my God, what the hell is going on? So it kind of that encounter stuck with me because I was caught between feeling bad for them and that, you know, irritation. Jesus, I'm just coming in here to get a couple of groceries and now I'm deaf. But so it kind of stuck with me, and I had a number of different ways in which to use that as a jumping off point for a story, but it wasn't until 2 years later I sat down and I think I wrote in the space of 5 days the whole thing just flowed straight out about, well, you know, there I was being kind of guiltily judgmental about this woman and her kid, and what would happen if I got home and my girlfriend was gone. The pictures on the wall had changed, and this kid that I had seen at the grocery store was sitting there saying, hi, Dad.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
and
wow.
My whole life has been altered to have that kid sit in it. Everybody remembers that I've always had that child. He's in the pictures on the walls with me, so... Is he actually my kid, and have I had some kind of a breakdown, or has he altered my reality to fit it?
Well, I don't know about you, James, but I'm like really excited to hear the the reading. You have a reading for us, Keelan?
Oh, do I? No, I thought you were going to read it.
That's not funny. Did you really?
I did. I thought you said send it to you so you could read it. Why would
James,
I want to read it? I've read it already.
He knows what happens.
Well, no, that's true. That is true. But you have a really awesome voice, so that could be a reason why you'd want to read it.
Yeah, but I also have a cold. So that's, you know, I'll be reading it and I'll be snotting all over the place as well. So I don't know if I want to put people through that. Hang on, I can get it. I can. I was just about to say I can get it up, but that's probably a poor choice of words. I can open the file and.
Well, we all rated R, so you know we can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
I was going to say, I mean, whatever you want to brag about,
let
me go for it. You know.
You have piqued my interest.
All right, hang on. Let me open this file, and I will read it then. Yeah, I thought that's why you asked me to send you that paper, Phil, so that you could read it. I didn't know I was going to have to perform it. I've worn something better.
Well, as long as you can get it up, you're fine.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the eternal struggle, but you do what you can.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm getting to that age now, you know. It's, you know.
It's getting warm in here.
I'm worried that one day I'll not be able to get it up, and then when I do, I think, well, why? What was that for? What's the point?
Yeah,
why did
you
do that?
You have to be lying on your stomach. Yep.
Oh, my. Let me take a deep breath.
Of course,
and
I'm trying to open this thing now, and it's going to take about 65 years, so that's just typical of my luck. Yeah. All right. Well,
we could do something else. I mean, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Xtina's happy, obviously. I mean, by happy, obviously, I mean drunk.
Well, you see, that's the main thing. As long as she's happy, we're in no danger.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
It's when the wine runs out,
it.
We need to worry.
Yeah.
I still have plenty. Thank you.
You got another couple of bottles.
Right.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay, I have it. Are you guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Ready when you are.
Okay. All right, let's see. Okay, when the child started screaming, Phil Pendleton had his arms loaded with chocolate bars and his girlfriend cooing in his ear. Later, he would think of the moment prior to that klaxon-like intrusion as one of utter bliss, a rare occasion in which his customary concerns were in absentia. It was a Saturday, so he was off work and had woken up pleasurably late after a night of equally pleasurable lovemaking. And while he had briefly considered doing some much-delayed yard work today, if only to stave off the disapproving looks of his neighbors, Laurie had convinced him to actually take the day off and join her in doing nothing more taxing than lounging before the TV with a stockpile of chocolate. As the invitation had been extended while she stood in the bathroom doorway wearing nothing but her pink silk underwear, and with the memory of her uncharacteristic sexual abandon still fresh in his mind, he hadn't needed to be asked twice. His mission was a simple one: procure as much chocolate as possible and return home, a task which saw him standing in the candy aisle at Walmart, Laurie doling out her requests over the phone in between bouts of sexual innuendo as he tried to focus on the overwhelming selection on the shelves before him. Yes, he would have said the day was a fine one indeed. Then the scream had come. So abrupt and so unexpected, Phil's whole body jerked as if someone had punched him between the shoulder blades. Jamie Lee Curtis had screamed like that at Halloween. Loons did, too. A half dozen or so chocolate bars rained from the cradle of his arm to the floor, smacking against his feet. Only his quick reflexes kept his cell phone from joining it. This last was a relief. As Laurie was so fond of reminding him, he'd had to replace the phone twice this year already. What in God's name was that, the fire alarm? Laurie asked. In the fright, the phone had slipped down to his cheek. Only luck had kept it pinned there. Now, hands unexpectedly free of candy, he grabbed it and put it back to his ear. No, someone's kid. As he said this last, he looked to his right, to the source of the sound. There were a half dozen or so shoppers wandering the aisle. Many of them were making concentrated efforts not to look at the thin woman standing midway down the aisle, or the tow-headed child currently tugging at the hem of her unseasonably heavy coat. On the faces of the shoppers, Phil saw his own emotions reflected back at him: irritation, pity, and relief. Irritation at the obnoxious introduction of such a hostile and unwelcome sound into the general lazy Saturday ambience of the store. Pity at the sight of the browbeaten woman forced to accept responsibility for her child's misbehavior. and relief that the child belonged to someone else. This last was particularly relevant to Phil. Infrequent paternal impulses notwithstanding, he'd never wanted children. Indeed, his first and only marriage had ended for that very reason. Despite the agreement that they remain childless and therefore free to live their lives untethered by such suffocating obligations, over time his ex-wife's position morphed into mourning that she would never be a mother. Seeing the naked sadness in her eyes whenever they were around the sons and daughters of their friends, Phil had agreed to consider altering his own stance on the subject, but his heart had never been in it. His own childhood had been a train wreck, and rather than emerge from that endurance test better prepared for parenthood, he suspected it had probably ruined such prospects for life. Whatever the case, he wasn't in any great hurry to find out. His hope had been that, given time, Stacy would realize the limitations a child would impose upon their lives and bury that maternal need. She hadn't. Instead, her impulses bred anger and resentment toward him, rendering him little more than an obstruction to the natural course of her life. Even so, he might have stood a chance of pleading his case if not for the unwavering and openly hostile support of her friends, few of whom had cared for him from the very beginning. Their dissolution had been a cold one, and despite half-hearted efforts to stay in touch, they never did unless the topic was a practical one, such as ownership of certain items discovered in the basement of the house they once shared. Now, as Phil looks at the child with the runny nose and puffy eyes, his clothes remarkably pristine and oddly old-fashioned, he wished Stacy were here if only so he could use the kid as an example of why he'd never conceded to her wishes. This, he would tell her, is just a taste of what we would have been forced to put up with. Aware that he was staring but unable to stop, drawn to the sad tableau as one might be to the interaction of animals in an enclosure, Phil moved his gaze back to the mother and immediately felt a pulse of guilt for his uncharitable thoughts. Honey? Yeah, Dave, he said into the phone. What's going on? I think you can guess. The woman might once have been beautiful. All the elements were there, but appeared to have been sullied by hardship and filtered by distress so that to find them, one had to look harder than her appearance invited. Her dirty blonde hair was in disarray as if she hadn't bothered to brush it after getting out of bed, or had in some fit of rage or desperation tried to pull it out. Or perhaps that was the child's doing, for in his eyes behind the shimmering tears, Phil thought he detected a glimmer of glee, as if nothing gave the kid greater pleasure than the reaction his histrionics wrought with his suffering mother. Indeed, there appeared to be the slightest upward curve at the corners of the child's bow-shaped lips. Right, that's it. That's all you get me.
Awesome. That was, I was into that. That was great.
Okay.
I think we've all been there, and I've been there when one of my kids has been doing that, and it just brought all that back. I mean, the writing was very evocative. Thank you for bringing back those miserable memories.
You know, I have to say that I was just hanging on your every word because your voice is like incredibly hot. So you could read anything. You know, just pick up anything next to you, your grocery list. I don't care what it is, and just read. Just read.
It's the Irish lilt that does it, I think. That was quite
well,
hypnotic.
I
enjoyed
that. She's saying that to me about my accent, and completely disregarding that, of course. What's that about? You're going to give him the same praise.
I did want to say, let's see, where did it go? Okay, we had a question from your pal Jason McIntyre. He wanted to know, what is one book you wish you had written?
Oh, my. one book, there's loads, but I would say Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry would be definitely that, or The Road by Colin McCarthy, or anything Stephen King has done.
Awesome. I just got done reading, and it took me forever, and it's a short freaking book. I'm sorry, I don't read fast. Well, I don't have time. I just got done reading The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon, though, and I love that book. I really do. I'm a huge baseball fan, and I think that's why I liked it even more.
It's a very nice, simple story. I mean, it's not over.
Yeah.
Overcooked, and it's very well put together, and it puts you in the in the forest with the young girl. I mean, it's
mm-hmm. Oh my very, gosh, you know, it sure does. It sure does.
You're there with her, you know, and you're worried about her. And so it obviously written, you know, I mean, obviously Stephen King's a parent, you know, and from a parent's point of view, you know, losing your kid like that, and it's whilst it puts you in the kid's head, it helps it push in the parent's head as well, because you're also, you know, that those are the sort of thought processes that, you know, a parent would go through, and what is she going through, you know, she's lost. And again, it's back to supermarkets. I mean, this might highlight me as a bad parent, but I think we've all at least once in our parental careers lost a child in the supermarket, even for a few seconds, and it is one of the most gut-wrenching, terrifying, ball clinging up to your body feelings that you can ever have. I mean, it's,
Well, you know what the horror writer response to that, of course, is, oh, I've lost loads of children in the supermarket, but I've never had a kid myself.
Oh, and Jason wanted me to tell you that he knew that you'd say the road.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
I don't
spooky.
Know.
Spooky.
So are you, do you have the music, James, for the 11 questions?
Am I supposed to have that?
Yes. That's what I keep you around for.
That's what you keep me around for? I don't know. I just, hey, you know, you just boss you. Come on, you boss me about. You boss me about.
Oh, lies.
Right, okay.
And now, 11 questions.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay, what's your guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure, oh my God. what's my guilty pleasure? Jesus. Well, there's lots of them, but I will, I'll just stick to something banal like, oh my God, I'm blanking. Let's just say PlayStation. That's not guilty pleasure. You know what? I don't have any guilty pleasures. I never feel guilty about my pleasures. How about that?
Nice.
I like that.
I like that. Okay, baked beans, ranch style or pork and beans?
What was the question?
Baked beans. Do you like ranch style or pork and beans?
Baked.
Good answer.
Baked
puppies
beans.
Or kittens?
I don't like.
Oh, sorry.
Puppies.
Okay,
puppies.
Awesome. What's your favorite lunch meat?
Turkey.
What was your first car?
Dodge Dynasty. Piece of shit.
What do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
Snakes.
Really? No, it's spiders.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it's spiders. Okay, anyway.
yeah, wrong answer.
Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
Freddy.
First draft, handwritten or word processor?
Word. Word processor.
Favorite alcoholic drink?
Ooh, Heineken or Jameson.
And number 11, one interesting non-writing related fact about you.
I speak fluent Gaelic.
Do you really?
Wow.
James, we have to have him back just to talk, okay? Can we do that?
No, we do. He can present the show. I'm going to retire from that. So meet your new co-host, Xtina. I'm going to bow out gracefully.
No, don't leave me, James.
If you thought it was impossible, you finally found someone with a better accent than mine. So
no.
I give in. I know when I'm beaten.
No, that's the year-long debate about accents. You know, it's all depending on who's listening to it, whether it's the better one or not. We all just sound strange to most people.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I don't know. It's,
so how...
It's,
how
there you go.
Xtina, just have a drink. How long have you been over here, Keelan? Have you been... Is it sort of a lifelong thing, or...?
No, I've been here since about 2 weeks before 9/11, I believe.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, under the wire.
Well, you know, and it, by bizarre coincidence, my wife, who's now my wife, she actually moved in with me on my birthday, which was the day before 9/11. Which
wow.
Obviously, 10th of September is my birthday. She moved in on my birthday, and then that happened, which was.
Well, if
yeah.
there was ever a day where you needed to be close with somebody, that was it.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, indeed. That was a scary time. So what brought you over here?
Honestly, just opportunity. I met a girl in Ireland. So I'm talking over there. It was only supposed to be for a 3-month stay, and I ended up not going back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
well, lucky
I like it. Well, not so much. They got married and divorced, so I'm not sure how lucky she believes she was. But,
oh, right.
Yikes.
And you're still here. That's awesome. Yeah, I like it here. It's fun, mostly.
Yeah,
mostly.
But,
although
yeah.
after the last election, it took a bit of a nosedive for me. But
God.
Well. It's become a climate of uncertainty now, you know. It's kind of, I think we were spoiled for a while and just assumed that everyone, it's like the fucking Lego movie, you know. Everything is
yes.
Everything
is
up.
It's interesting. It's like a very, very big practical joke that went horribly wrong.
Oh my God, it is, and Trump is like some 6-year-old we've just set loose on the nation, and it's so scary. It really is.
It
well,
is,
I'll tell you what's interesting
frying.
Though is I have never in my entire life, and I include my own country in this, I have never been so intricately familiar with the ins and outs of a political scene. You know, I'm just. I look at my DVR now, and it's all these news shows and late night shows, and I'm just basically, I think, in trying to find some solace and humor. I just have, over the past couple of months, over the last year, probably educated myself on the ways of American politics. It's actually fascinating now.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You know,
kinda
and that being said, I couldn't tell you any of the cabinet members in Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's. I mean, I'm the same as you. I mean, I sort of, you know, I used to follow politics back in England. I mean, I've only been here about 6.5 years now, so I knew a lot of politics back then. So it was all new to me here. But yeah, I had a quick crash course to try and get my head around how the hell this has happened. And it's just
well, and it's happening over there too. So I mean, you're caught right between two stools.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, I mean, if the UK wasn't in such a shitstorm right now politically, then it might be time to go back. But it's not. I mean, it's a god awful mess over there as well.
Well,
I think everywhere
you go now. Yeah, no, it is a global thing now. But I think wherever you go, it's equally important that you stand and you just fight and help the people that you can help, and you know, stand up and say when it's time. I mean, I got a lot of flack because, as anyone familiar with my social media is aware, that I just, if I'm pissed off about something, I think there's something is unjust or a minority are being persecuted openly by the government or by policies, I will say so.
Mm-hmm.
And I will try to be, to couch it in some kind of humorous way, but basically what I'm saying is this is all fucked and I don't appreciate it and we need to do something about it. Spread the word, if nothing else. And,
right, right.
You know, I've signed up for all sorts of protest organizations, civil rights groups, all kinds of put your money where your mouth is. That's not enough to just talk about it. But I've lost readers over that, and I'm sure, you know, there's probably readers listening now who go, oh, fuck that, and they're gone.
Yeah.
But you know what? We can't afford to care. I mean, it's the, about those things, it's the debate that, you know, you're in the business of publishing and writing. That's what you do, shut up and write your books and keep politics out of it. But I have never in my life so strongly disagreed with that. I think that, you know, even the fiction I'm writing now, without being openly political, is certainly my mindset has been changed by what's happened and what continues to happen. So I'm not going to keep that from the things I write about, because I have always written about the things that affect me, and it affects me, it affects people I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's affecting good people around the country, around the world, and quite honestly, there's no way that I'm not going to say something about it when I believe we're basically getting fucked in all directions.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, we, I guess as writers, I mean, you know, by default with the job, we have a platform. And, people get, I mean, when you know, the Hollywood A-listers sort of speak out about politics and whatnot, and they get shot down, and it's, oh, who do you think you are? And but at the end of the day, they have a platform, you know, and they're using that platform to, you know, raise the issues and, you know, say what people are thinking and represent the smaller people in some cases. I'm with you.
They say that, you know, oh, you're a celebrity, you don't count. But, I mean, you're forgetting the fact that celebrities, right, they're celebrities. It doesn't mean they're not people. And if they have that platform, they should use it. And the thing about it is that as writers or, as you know, as directors or screenwriters, whatever, if they're in a car crash, at some point, that's going to end up in their fiction because you write about traumatic events.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, there is no reason not to write about the massive fucking car crash that this country just had.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
If it affects you, you write about it. That's it. End of story. And you shouldn't have to justify it by saying, well, I'm sorry that you voted for Darth Vader, but I'm just not fucking... I'm going to write what I feel like writing about. I'm going to write about my personal issues that never bothered you before, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And disagreeing is healthy. You know, if I write a story and it mentions politics, which it probably won't, because I have written lots of things I believe into my fiction without it being noticeable, you know, it just informed the character's life or something. If it bothers you, honestly... If it bothers you enough that you can't read it, I respect your right to not do that. But then, by that same token, you have to respect my right to want to write about it.
I absolutely hate that we have run out of time on our first segment, really. And let's see. Will you come back and see us? I always ask this question. And if you don't, I'll just stalk you on Facebook. So you might as well say yes.
I will,
And she will. She will, Keelan. She will stalk you. Why do you think I'm on every week?
Hey, no.
Are you in the basement? Is that what's going on?
I'm chained to something big and heavy in Xtina's basement, yes. Please help. Or send food parcels or something, yeah.
Be careful. You'll end up in the basement, too.
Oh, Jesus.
To paraphrase Pennywise, we all float down here.
Well, I know she is from the amount of wine she's ever had.
Okay, so where can we find you online, Keelan?
I'm pretty much everywhere. I'm on Facebook, as you know. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. My website is just myname.com. I think that's pretty much it, but a search of my name turns up anywhere else I might be hiding. So.
Okay, I think we have all your links up on the Panic Room Facebook page, so if anybody wants to find you, they can do it there too. And I thank you very much for coming on the show, and, you know, next time we're just going to have you on for the whole entire time, and I'm just going to listen to you talk. So.
She's just going to make you read for an hour and a half, so be prepared for that.
Oh my God.
We can talk about anything. I don't care.
Scary.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
It's been
an
absolute pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great rest of your evening. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
There we go. That was fun. What a great chap. What a nice chap. Really enjoyed that. Yeah. I'm gonna, and I say it a lot, but I'm gonna get Sour Candy. I want to know what happens. I really do. What a great, great conscious.
Yeah.
Just that you get home and things are just a bit different, and the kids. And that's got my interest. So I think
it does.
I think that'll be on my purchase list. So there you go. So do you have any commercials, or you're not bothered? You're too drunk.
I always have commercials. Okay, let's see.
Go for it.
A new brand new press specializing in horror, bizarro, or dark erotica, erotic horror, and dark poetry. Hellbound Books Publishing wants your best stories. Now open for novels, short story collections, and anthology submissions. Please pay no mind to the sulfur smell. Go to hellboundbookspublishing.com to learn more. In the mood for something steamy to read this winter, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com. Deep breath.
And breathe.
That was good.
Right, okay, we're going to have a break. I need to fill up at one end and empty at the other. So we will be back. Too much information, I know. We'll be back in 2 minutes and 10 seconds, apparently.
I remember you. You're the one who made my dreams come true. A few kisses ago. I remember you. You're the one who said I love you too. Didn't you know? I remember too a distant bell and stars that fell like the rain out of the blue. The rain out of the blue.
Welcome back to part two.
Yeah, I just needed to get that finished. So, welcome back to part two.
What are you doing?
What?
I was like, what are you doing?
I was writing. I just thought I'd finish off a quick novel while Slim Whitman was crooning. I hadn't heard. It was funny. I was watching, not seen him for a long time, House of a Thousand Corpses and The Devil's Rejects, and that song played in, I can't remember which one of them it was, and I've not heard that for so long. I'm going to play that on the show, so I did.
I didn't know it. What a shit story that was.
To be fair, I wanted to have a quick rant actually about but certain drivers here in America, Texas specifically, I mean, drivers here are terrible, I have to say. And one thing I find they're really, really bad at is letting you know where to go. I mean, I was behind some asshole just the other day who indicated for, it must have been 5 miles that he was turning right. Which was great.
Are you
him
sure
to give
you
me,
behind me?
It was great. It was great of him to give me, you know, 15 minutes warning. And then he turned bloody left at the end. Now, what I figured out, I think it's down to semantics. I think what it is in England, it's called an indicator, yeah? That's what it's there for, to indicate.
Indicate.
Yeah? It indicates which fucking direction you're turning in, left or right, okay? Here in America, in Trump's America, and this is why, people, you got Donald Trump as your fucking president. In America, it's called the blinker. It's the blinker. Because it blinks. Seriously? It blinks. Great.
Yeah,
thank you. So what does it do? It blinks. Yeah, but why did it just blinks? You know, and that is the fundamental problem. That is why nobody knows. They either don't use them. The number of times I've almost pulled somebody over and said, look, oh, excuse me, mate, you know, your blinker doesn't blink. And then, you know, just sort of slam his face into it just to make my point. But the other thing I have to remember here is I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I used to be on the road a lot. I was a sales rep for many, many years. And, you know, obviously bad driving, etc. just really grinds my gears a little bit, if you pardon the pun. But what I have to be careful of, once in England, somebody actually, they nearly knocked me off the road, actually. They cut me up in a queue of traffic, coming down a big hill, nearly wiped me off the road. So I followed them home. And I sat at the end of their driveway, and they were sat in their driveway and didn't dare get out of the car for about 10 minutes. Here, the likelihood of getting shot is too high for that. In fact, it was somewhere in Texas. It may have even been downtown Houston. Somebody pissed somebody else off, and they just shot him. And they showed him, was clearing the mess up. The car obviously was still in the middle of the highway. Somebody shot him. So
really?
I tried to be, I tried to be a little calmer these days, but
yeah.
But, you know, road rage like that is not conducive to a longer lasting life. Anywho, due to the fantastic performance last week and outstanding feedback, we've got the one and only Becky Naran back with us, who's going to review something. Becky, how are you this evening, my dear?
I'm fine. How are you?
Do you know, I'm miserable, and the next seat is drunk, so it's an interesting show.
Hey. Oh, my goodness.
It's an interesting one, so
tipsy.
There you go.
Tipsy.
So, okay, Becky, you're going to do a you've got a fight. Oh, hang on, just a minute, I think I've actually got it. I think I made a little jingle for you. Are we excited? Are we,
cool.
I'm going to play a little jingle, and then you're going to get into your review, and the clock's ticking. Okay, here we go.
Okay. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
So what are you reviewing for us this evening?
Muerte Con Carne by Sean McKenzie. Sean was on last week, and so I had to read this book, and I'm telling you, this is amazing. I read it in one sitting. I could not put it down. I made the mistake of starting it after the show, and I was up half the night, and everybody was trying to get me to go to bed, and I was like, no, absolutely not. The story starts out with a bang and then goes to a man and a woman making plans to do something that they really should not be doing. It's dangerous and illegal, and but they've taken all the necessary items they'll need, you know, for their journey. They are kind of romantically involved. He is in love with her. She's a little difficult. She has mood swings that stem from her being an orphan. She's Hispanic and wants to blow the cover on how illegal immigrants that are crossing the border are treated. She's on a mission, and nothing will stop her. I mean, she is driven with this. They set off on their journey. They go, they check into a motel and decide to relax before they, you know, put their plans into action. And when they check into the hotel, she's in one of her moods. And so she gets a room and then turns around, looks at him and says, aren't you going to get a room? And well, you know, that kind of doesn't make him happy. but he accepts it and goes on, and he gets a room, and then he leaves and walks into town, and he's looking for a bar. And he finds a bar, and he gets very, very drunk. And then he doesn't remember how he gets back the next morning. The next morning, she gets up and goes into town and finds, smells something amazing in the air, and goes to find a taco truck. And she gets tacos, and they tell her that this is the best food she's ever eaten. And so she gets it and takes it back, and she eats it, and it's absolutely wonderful. And she leaves him some. Well, he wakes up, and he eats, and they go on their drive, and they find out where they're going to try to cross the border that night. And they get into a fight on the way back home. And he stomps off. Well, she says, the heck with you, and off she goes alone to do this mission on her own. Not smart. She walks and walks and walks. It gets very dark. She's very tired. And all of a sudden, headlights shine in her face. And the next thing she knows, she's hit with a dart. And she passes out. And then she wakes up. And from there, I'm not going to tell you much more other than to say, she goes through hell.
Nice. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. And
sounds like my kind of story.
Oh, it is a messed up family. One messed up family that has kidnapped her. But, yeah.
So how many stars would you give it?
I would give it 5 out of 5. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Awesome. I didn't know we were giving stars out. Xenia's just made that up, haven't you?
I did not. That's what
totally
you know.
Made
you
it up.
Amazon
totally.
Stars, Goodreads. Come on now. Go with stars. Give us a program, James.
No, what it should be, how many golden wine glasses do you award that one?
Right.
We could have a whole award thing called
five golden.
An annual award thing called the Xtinas, and they're little gold wine glasses that you give out.
Oh my God, I would love that award. That is so awesome.
I love you. I'd like to thank my good
them.
Friend Chardonnay, Pinot Noir.
Oh my goodness!
No, thank you, Becky. Thank you for joining us again. It's how have you been anyway? Have you been well?
Wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Just reading and making memes and doing author interviews. So
brilliant! There you go. It's easy life then. While the rest of us are working hard, you're just sort of just sailing on by. That's great.
I'm
that's really cheered me up.
No, I
really
love it.
Cheered
absolutely.
Me. I'm slogging through bloody erotic, romantic werewolf. I mean, for goodness sake. Really. Never again. Seriously, never again.
Oh.
Never again am I going to attempt that. I'm just tired of writing about. Yeah, you know, there's only so many euphemisms you can have for, you know, for all that malarkey. All that. If I have to write the word pussy one more time, I'm just going to vomit. Seriously, I'm
right?
Tired of it. Tired of it. You know, and there's only so many euphemisms you can use without offending people or losing them. You know?
Right. Oh, Lord. Well, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. We shall look forward to, I think I might sort of jolly his jingle up a little bit more again for next week, but it's a work in progress. I like that. It's good. Maybe just put a bit of music with it for next time. So, do you have any sort of music that you like specifically?
Oh, I like pretty much all music, as long as it's not rap.
Do you know, I was just going to say we could get Xenia to rap over it, but obviously not.
Oh, no, we can't. No, no, no. Oh, God.
No.
I wasn't even paying a whole lot of attention, but I heard my name and rap in the same sentence, and I just blinked back as quickly as possible. So, no, no.
So yeah, maybe not. So, Becky, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for that. And we will speak to you again next week.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So brilliant, great. I remember he was Seamus was a good guest last week. Obviously,
she
said the title of the book, that rings a bell, and obviously it was the one he was talking about last week. So that sounds good. It's funny enough. I mean, I was plugging my book Flanagan last week, which is equally about just weird fucked up people. So
right. It's obviously a popular trope, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, we had Kathy Denisi on a month back, and she had her book mm-hmm. The Road, and I think it had like similar premise to it too, which that's just totally creepy for me. You know, like whole hills have eyes crap or something that really kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would agree. I think I said it before. You know, it's we write about. You know, deep, dark, nasty things and creepy crawly things and all sorts of, but you know, it's people. People are the biggest, the most horrific. You know, what the human animal is capable of is terrifying. You know, it's and speaking of terrifying human beings. Uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things. Like, lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things.
Grab him by the pussy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, we now know all about uranium, don't we? Bad things.
It's bad.
Bad things. It's bad things. You know, bad things. That could be the title of my next book, actually. Bad things.
Bad things.
Bad things. Just bad stuff.
It's catchy. It's very catchy.
And things and that and whatnot. Yeah, what a badly informed man he really is, but hey ho. So what's happening next? Is this, have we got something happening next?
Yes, we have Deborah Anastasia, yeah. And I'm really excited.
I thought I would let you introduce her because I know you're a big fan. And
I am.
She's been on the show before, and she's coming on again, which makes you question her sanity. Really, are you there, Deborah?
I am here.
Yay!
You are there. Hello. Great to speak to you again. How have you been?
I'm good. I feel like I can sense some fear from you, and I'm just curious if you've got a nice safe spot to sit in while I talk to you.
I am chained up in Xtina's basement. I seem to remember last time. I think I got sort of ganged up on. I think last time. So
yeah.
I'm gonna let Xtina handle this, and I'm gonna sit and drink now. So
someone should be definitely drinking.
Please help me.
I know, and I started a little early tonight, which is not good because I was really sick for like a month
and a half. By early, she means she started yesterday.
Hey now.
There's really never a reason to stop, honestly.
Right.
There are mimosas. Well,
except sleep, unless she's about it. I think she may even say she's managed to, figure out how to actually drink in her sleep. That's probably the only time she does stop.
Why do you think I don't get up until noon? You know, I mean, there's wine to be drinked, you know, whatever.
Wine
it doesn't
to be
matter.
Drinked. Indeed, yes, we've got to drink that wine.
Oh, you're going to make me start coughing. Okay.
Oh, no.
I know. Okay, so we want to talk about your new book, Beast. So tell
funny.
Me, tell me,
yeah.
Yeah, tell me about it. I have not gotten a chance to read it yet, although a really good friend of mine, Deborah, she gifted it to me, and I'm really excited. I can't wait to start reading it.
Oh, yay. That's right. You told me about that in the messages.
Yeah, yeah.
Beast, it was a joke in romance community and romance novels. A lot of times you'll see men with abs on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine and I were talking about how, you know, if one set of abs can sell a book, maybe if the guy was covered in abs, it would sell really, really well. So I photoshopped a cover as a joke with the guy with abs all over his body.
I saw that,
and,
yeah.
Yep. And, like, if you dare me to do something, chances are I'm probably going to do it. So she dared me to write the story behind that cover. And I sat down and I wrote a story about a guy who's covered in abs. That's and I surprised
I
this because
I like that.
Right?
Do you? Yeah. It's actually, it's you know, it's one of my favorite things is to sort of force somebody's empathy hand. I feel like empathy is our greatest strength and also our deepest weakness, right?
Right,
so I like
right.
to touch on empathy. And so I wanted to make this what he does is he's trying to protect women because he's so sexy. He has so many abs that he has to sort of reverse stalk them to help them stalk him so they don't lose themselves in just being overwhelmed by him. And in the story, the women are on to him and think it's, you know, a little bit creepy. He keeps getting kicked out of bars, and he starts to get a reputation as a serial killer.
Oh, wow.
Because they keep finding him on the side of the road with bleach and shovels and tarps. But it turns out he's a roadkill rehabilitator.
Oh, my goodness.
If you're not thinking, you really should start talking about this story. So then I had to sort of, I did a play on the Beauty and the Beast, except he's the beast who thinks he's a beauty. And she...
Awesome. I love that.
Sort of falls for him when she finds out that he's not a serial killer, but he's actually saving animals on the side of the road and, you know, where there's animal control won't take them, the reserve, you know, rescues won't take these raccoons or whatever. So he takes them home and puts them in his basement and rehabilitates them and puts them back in the wild. And we find out there's a very sweet side to this beast. And sort of, it's a novella, and it was sort of just an interesting write. You know, like I like it when it's different. So
now, would you consider it a comedy or... Just.
Oh, please, God, yes.
Okay, that's what I was
yes.
gonna ask because,
definitely.
You know, I'm a big fan of your Poughkeepsie series and a huge fan of the Fire Down Below. And what do you like writing more? I mean, do you prefer the comedy?
Is definitely. I think the comedy is easier to write for me, but it really just depends on what emotion you need to get out of your body at the time, right? Like,
right.
You know, there's with Poughkeepsie, it was about love and all the different types of loyalty that you
right.
should have for your people, whether they're related to you or not. If they're your people, you need to be loyal to them. And with Fire Down Below, I just like to laugh and be entertained with laughter and be really out there, right? Like, just fun. Fun
yeah.
stuff to laugh by. So the comedy comes a lot quicker. But
yeah.
I'm actually just about to start a different one that I can't even tell you about, but you'll
oh,
know
yeah.
it when you see the cover, that is going to remind me more of the Poughkeepsie series. It's much more angst-ridden.
I can't wait.
So, yeah, that's a fun one. Yeah.
Now, it's been close to, I think, just coming up on, actually a little bit about a year since the fire down below, because I'm just getting all
the memories.
Yeah. And I'm remembering one of the teasers that I had made for Fire Down Below with the pile of poo, and you know, she wanted to eat his words and shit him out and wear him as a necklace.
Oh my God.
That was
God.
So funny to me. I love that line. And I remember in my review, I was like, you know, you have to put some kind of disclaimer on the book that, you know, don't eat or drink when you're reading this, because you'll choke to death, because it's that funny. I mean, I woke people up laughing because it was so funny. I love that story.
It's like a sense of humor. You have to, like, if you don't laugh at a fart, don't pick up my book, because it's all about, like, just the silliest, craziest humor that we can manufacture.
The first, I think it's the first sex scene between Dove and the pharmacist. I can't even remember his name. And he asked, I think, how it was. And she's like, well, you know how, like, every fourth thrust I was like a virgin again? Yeah, well, that was asshole. Oh, my gosh, that was funny.
This is the legacy for my children. Yeah. Grandma's books are here. Would you kids like to explore? No. They're going to, like, cement them and throw them into, like, a lake or something. So no one can get a hold of them again. Yes.
And
lots of fun.
You know, you have the Poughkeepsie series, and then the funny, and then I've just started reading. I'm behind on my reading, by the way, but I just started reading. I'm going to mess up the title. For all the evers, you're gonna make me cry, aren't you?
Oh God, I hope so. That particular book was written for my mom to honor my great uncle who passed in World War II. The day before the war ended, he stepped on a landmine, and he's 36, I think he was, when he passed. 36-year-old guy, and no wife, no family, and it occurred to me that nobody would remember him after us if I didn't write his name down. So that one was very, very much a tribute. The story itself is a happy story. It's the story I wanted him to have, not the real story. And I just wanted to sort of make him a book boyfriend, because I felt like there were no women that mourned his loss other than his mother, and, you know.
Right.
So I put his actual name in the book so that it would at least be, you know, in the internet somewhere, and I put his picture in the Kindle. So I just thought, you know what, even if just a few people have a good thought for him.
That's beautiful.
So that was, like, you know, it's funny. I feel like sometimes writers are expected to write in one genre. And you'll hear that, you know, you'll hear what are you going to be? Like, you have to pick a lane, you know. God, I hate picking a lane.
Or they, you know, have a different pen name for each different, you know, little
for
subgenre
each different
or something.
Thing.
That, yeah, and
exactly.
I like the fact
and
that
I'm so
you
stubborn.
Never know.
I refuse to change my pen name for any of it, because I feel like, you know, people are very different. They have different facets of themselves, right? You can be funny, you can be serious, you can cry, you know, all those different things. But we'll see how it goes.
Right. And is one awesome thing, is that you never know what you're going to write next. So that's kind of cool.
Nope. Absolutely not. I don't know either, so it's all of us are in the dark.
You don't know either. So I'm anxious to hear more about Beast. Do you have a reading for us?
I do. I don't know if I love this clip that I pulled. But, like, you know, because I know we have a little bit of a horror show here going on. So I just wanted to pick a little bit scary, but I don't know. We'll see. You know this story. This sounds a little more serious than the book is. It's for sure about the funny. This is from Beast's point of view. And his name is Dick Donnie. Watching the side of the road was not even a habit for me. It was an active search. I was looking for victims. On dark nights like this, I kept my brights on, even if there was traffic coming in the opposite direction. in the sanctity of my Mountaineer, I could leave the hood of my sweatshirt down. It was best to have a full range of vision as I drove slowly to my house. I was happiest when I could take a victim home, but sometimes fate required me to handle my business next to the road. The lump on the shoulder made my heart speed up, but the positioning of the legs made me frown. Too much experience gave me the very real ability to assess the victim before I was even out of the truck. I put on my four-way flashers and tossed the car in park. I moved quickly because sometimes time mattered. Life and death were manufactured in seconds. I popped the trunk and headed towards the lump with my flashlight before most people could even change a radio station. I was too late, but I still gave the victim the once-over. Sometimes I found that they were pregnant and that there might be a baby on board, but it wasn't the case. This possum was truly dead, not even playing possum, which had been my last hope. In the end, all I could offer the victim was a sigh. It was time for the shovel. I went to the nearest bit of earth where I could make a decent hole and started my macabre routine. I hated this part. I always imagined how many times an animal made it across the road before their last trip got them. Once the hole was deep enough, I'd take the body over to its new grave. Each animal got a few words of prayer from me before I covered them up. The last part of the burial service was a little marker that would signify the spot for any of her little possum babies, if they were out there and wondering where she went. It was possibly stupid, but it seemed respectful, so I went with it. I carved the small crosses myself. On this one, I inscribed possum with my pocket knife before hammering it into the ground. I couldn't save her tonight, but at least she was at rest. So that's
I like
the
that.
I like that. That's good. That's good.
Right? Like, he's a nice guy. I don't know. It's very weird. It's a weird story, and I love weird. Like, he keeps warning her, you know, be careful.
Right.
I'm so manly, you might lose sleep. And, you know, like, he keeps warning her.
Well, silly. Speaking of weird, you know, you have an embarrassing story for us, do you?
it's a cute story. Lord knows I have a million embarrassing stories, but this one was the one I thought of. It's just cute. And my daughter had come home from middle school, right? And I think she was in sixth grade at the time, 12 years old, give or take. And, you know, I'm driving home, and she says to me, Mom, I heard an inappropriate joke today. And I was like, okay. And I'm fairly strict with what the kids are allowed to watch and see and all that. But, you know, we're entering teen years, so I want to be available for any kind of questions. Just be an open book, sort of, you know, a place to find out information. So I'm,
right,
like, ready to just, whatever this is, I'm going to face it. And we're going to talk about it. And I said, all right, well, go ahead and tell it to me. She goes, okay. A pirate walks into a bar. And up to the bartender, and the bartender says, why do you have a steering wheel in your pants? And then the pirate says, because it's driving me nuts.
Oh, dear.
I had never heard that joke. I don't know if that's the oldest joke in the book. I laughed so hard, and I was like, like, I was expecting, like, some sort of deep conversation about, you know, something that maybe could come up. I just laughed and laughed and laughed. And to this day, I still think it's one of the best jokes I've ever heard. So that's my funny story. It's really
it is
just
cute.
A silly one. Super cute, though, right?
Then when you have to have the awkward conversation, explain to, you know, as I had with my 7-year-old recently, trying to explain what nuts actually are.
Yes.
We have this, we have a big, we have four dogs, we have this big, he's a Mastiff Plot Hound mix, he's huge, like, he's 120 pounds,
oh,
and
yeah.
he's got this big, massive tail that just, it's like, it should be registered as a lethal weapon, and he's literally just at nut height for me and my son, and literally, when I'm letting him out, you have to literally cup yourself with your hand. Because if he cracks you and he's had both of us doubled over, at least, you know, more than one occasion, because he cracks you just in the right, just with that tail, and it hits you with such a force. So, and there was
that some of your books.
I should, shouldn't I? The dog with the killer tail. And I remember I doubled up. So, oh, my fucking nuts! And What a notice, Daddy. Oh, shit, me and my fat mouth. So I had to explain to her what nuts were. Because she knows, I mean, it's obviously taught them what the bits and pieces are, but she knows the proper words, you know. But
yes.
Yeah, what a nuts, Dad. Yeah, okay, let's discuss this now, shall we? While I'm in pain. Well, I mean, screaming
oh
agony. The struggle is real.
Something I did want to ask you about, Miss Deborah. You went to the 50 Shades Darker premiere, didn't you?
I did.
And
yes, I did.
I have not seen it yet. So, what did you think?
Oh, the movie itself, I love. I love the movie. It was the experience was crazy cool. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun and so like wow, glittering and fantastic and like just unreal. I love the movie. But I'm sitting in a premiere with God knows how many other bloggers and other authors. Talk about like a girl's day. Oh, it's so much fun. What a lively, screaming fun crowd to go see that. We were all so excited. So it was a ton of fun, and I highly recommend going to the movie. I pretty much assume most girls will see it twice, at least.
I can't wait actually to see it. I did see the first, you know, I read the books and I saw the movie, and you know the. People either love it or hate it. There's so much, you know, people really have a lot to say about it. I liked it. I really did. And I thought that, what is her name? Dakota. I thought she brought such a great.
She's hilarious. Yep.
Yes. Yes. And see,
she
when
does
I read
a
the
really
books,
good job. Yeah.
Yeah. When I read the books, I didn't get that humor, you know, of Anna. I did not. But she does it so perfectly that I just. I really enjoyed it. So I actually watched.
It was fun. You'll love it.
And
yeah,
watched
you
it again because And I think book two probably was my. I liked it. I think better because of the storyline and that, you know, that crazy ex of his that you know that thing. And so I can't wait.
I think you're gonna enjoy it. It's really very female centric. It feels like female entertainment. Done by a female for females, and you'll know what I'm talking about when you're done watching the movie. You and I will do a little message on Facebook, and you'll get it.
Oh, I can't wait now.
All about the girls. So much about the girls. Anyway, yeah. It's fantastic. You'll see when you see it.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was lots and lots of fun.
And I'm sure you don't have a whole lot of time because you write so much. But have you read anything good lately? I mean, what can you recommend here?
I have been blessed to be reading some art. I read James's book recently, which I thought was staggeringly unique.
Which one? Which one?
The one that I have right here. Wait, let me grab it out. I have a signed copy. He and I swapped books. Let's see. The name of this one is The Odyssey of Colton Forsyth.
Oh, yes. I
love
that book.
Oh, Colton.
Right?
An instant classic.
I'm telling you, though, I love when everybody has something that's a unique idea. Because... to me, I love when it's different. I guess I've read so much that I'm picky. I really want a plot that I can't see what's coming at me. You've got to surprise me. I'm a very picky reader. Like, you have to get me in the first chapter. I'm gone. Which I think we all are getting that way. We have such short attention spans, right?
Yes,
with
that's
the way
my
media
problem.
Is.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, you better get them in the first three sentences or you're out of there. They're going to the next one.
Yep.
So, and I recently read Puffed Off by Helena Hunting.
I've read
Cole by Tijan. And I've read Going Up by Catherine Stevens, which if you haven't read Catherine Stevens yet,
Xtina, you have. I've never read anything funnier. Oh my God. Every single. She is so whip smart, funny, quick. She blows my mind. Really. So I'm spoiled rotten and I have such access to these novels that have not even come out yet. So.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
And both Tusion and Helena's I've read a while back now because they're on a very strict writing schedule. So it's, but it's been fun, yeah. And what else? I have Fake Fiance by Ilse Madden Mills. I've read that one. That was fantastic. So many books.
So many books, so little time.
Author.
That's, you know, that's what I keep thinking.
Exactly. It really is. You know what? I use my Kindle Fire and I do text to speech at four times the speed, and I let it play while I'm doing my housework, and I can get through so many more books that way.
That's a good idea. Yeah, yeah.
Haven't used your text to speech yet on your Kindle Fire? You can plow through books that way.
I need to give that a shot because at the speed I'm going, it's bad. I think I took 3 weeks to read a book that was, like, you know, about 100 pages. That's just sad.
Well, you don't have enough time to sit down anymore, right? Like, so if I'm running the kids back and forth to school, I'll put it in a bowl because that makes it louder, and I'll listen to the book. So it turns anything into an audiobook. And if you're checking for typos in your manuscript, that's the way to listen to it because you hear it.
Hear it.
Your eyes don't read over it.
That's an awesome idea. I hate that our time is just about up. It goes by so fast, and I'm going to put you on the spot.
You guys had a great show tonight. So awesome. Lots of
and
fun
I'm going
to
put you on the spot and ask you to please, please, please come back.
You know I'll always do anything you want me to.
Yay!
Be careful with that one. You'll end up in the basement with me.
You're doing that weird demonic thing.
So. My last guy was made of muscles. It's just, I do anything.
There we go. Perfect.
So we have all your links up on the Panic Room Facebook page, but if you know, give us a plug and let us know where we can find you online.
You can just Google Deborah Anastasia and all the bad will come flying up with the search results. Only two or three mug shots. It's good.
That's all. That's not many. That's good. You're doing great.
Only a few are violent. It's really good.
And everybody listening, go buy Beast. And I thank you so much for coming. And I will be stalking you on Facebook.
Please do. I would miss you if you didn't. And good night to both of you. And thank you again.
And thank you. We shall look forward to having you back. Been a pleasure.
Very good.
Okay, bye-bye. Have a good rest of your evening.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that's it. Time's just about gone now, so...
I know, it's so sad. I'm going to cry.
I know. I'm going to be doing that voice all night. I know.
You sound good now. It came back. Like, you only were weird for, like, a second, and now you're good again.
Oh,
so.
Good.
Yeah,
so,
you're good.
It's that time, and it's time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Goodbye. See you next week, listener.
Mmm, vehicles to you. good to know your heart's a treasure. Close to my head.